I know last week we talked a lot about the give back, and we talk a lot about joint ventures. And you know, and I think when you look at joint ventures, there's kind of three ways to look at it, right? You know, obviously it's easy to get into a give back joint venture because every merchant that you sign up, and that you hear us preach this all the time, but it's, and we do it for a reason, but every merchant you sign up should be on the give back. It's an easy way to lead into another joint venture. We also talk a lot about some of the bigger joint ventures, you know, with associations, you know, different civic organizations and bigger ones. And those take a lot longer to obviously materialize. There's a lot more moving parts to it. I think some people, especially when they're new, they're kind of afraid of those, you know, because they are so big and there's a lot of opportunity there. But another thing you hear us talk a lot about is intrinsic value. And, you know, obviously the face value of the whole deal is the face value is going to the merchant, signing up a merchant. That's the face value. It's worth X. I make X up front. I make X in residuals. There we are. Good to go. And what we're seeing, and a lot of the guys that are on this call, and I don't know, Brian, are you here? I'm going to call you out.
Yep, I'm here.
All right. If you don't mind, I'm going to call you out in a minute.
Okay.
And when you look at that, obviously the big joint venture, you look at the give back, but you have to look really, you have to really kind of fine tune your microscope, if you will, to look at the intrinsic value of a merchant, because there's other things that go on within their customer group that's a huge opportunity. And we talked, I don't know, it was a few weeks ago, we talked about the bookstore down in Florida where John went. They wouldn't take his Amex because they're having this big problem. And, you know, and that deal was worked out. I know Brian was real instrumental in making that happen. And that's a perfect intrinsic value deal. And, Brian, can you share the story of kind of what's cooking on that deal right now? And I think that will really lay it out nice. It's a perfect, perfect example.
Well, after I got the bookstore, got all their issues resolved, I was working with her IT guy, getting their PCI compliance stuff in order. And there's some changes he had to do, and then talking to him on the phone. He understood what PCI was really, really well. And I found that awful rare, because a lot of the IT guys that I run into don't really get it, all right? It turns out what this guy does is he owns a company, okay, that basically specializes in making people's networks PCI compliant, you know. And we got to talking some more, and, you know, we developed kind of a, I don't know, working relationship, you know, because I could tell he knows what he's doing, and he felt the same way about me. So I told him about our joint venture program to see, you know, if you have interest in, you know, teaming up and doing a couple projects, you know. And so, as it turns out, he has clients that own like 7,000 resort properties that he sets networks up for. He's already sent me a guy that has, this is down in Florida, and, you know, got to have a pool. This is a store that they sell chemicals for your pool. They have a bunch of guys that come out and clean your pool. If you want a brand new pool, they'll sell you one. They'll install it. And they've got a couple locations. So I'm talking to the owner right now. They're upgrading their equipment. And then the next one is a lady who owns 170 resort properties, and they've all got restaurants on them and all this other stuff. And, you know, all kinds of credit card opportunity there. You know, it's very new in the relationship. You know, it has a lot of possibilities, you know, and it's just one of those things that you got to have a lot of finesse when you work something with this much potential in it, you know, because one little mistake and the whole thing goes down the toilet and you've wasted a lot of time setting up nothing. So I'm in the process of working on that.
And because I know you and I talked about that, you know, a couple weeks ago, and when you'd gone in there and you're working with this guy, you had no idea it was the owner, right? I mean, you were just talking.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know he was the owner. I thought, well, you know, maybe this company he works for would be interested, or, you know, maybe he'd want to just throw me a couple bones out on the side, you know, or something.
Right.
You know, but as you peel away the layers, you know, it just keeps growing, you know. But like I say, you got to use a lot of finesse in something like this, because I don't want to overwhelm the guy by going in, oh my God, there's so much money here, you know.
Right. You know, I want to knock. I would just start knocking them off one at a time, nice and slow, picking them off. You know, getting a rhythm.
Right.
With the guy.
Well, and I think that probably builds a little.
And that
problem.
Can be very productive for a long, long, long time. You know, you don't want to just go diving in there going, I want to ride them all today. You know, because you'll screw it all up. You'll never get it done.
Well, let me ask you just so folks can hear a real story that's going, a recent real story that's going on here. When you started working with the guy and you could clearly see that he knew how to navigate around and you could see that he knew how to navigate around, and at what point in the completion of this deal did you talk about like, hey, you know what? You know, if you run into other scenarios like this, or hey, do you want to do kind of a joint? At what point did you talk to him about that? Was it after the deal was completed?
Well, I guess, a lot of the stuff that I run into is clients whose credit card stuff is screwed up, just like this bookstore lady. You know,
right.
Everything was set up wrong, nothing worked right, your gift card program was screwed up. You know, I said, hey, you know, if you run into any more people, you know, like Diane here at the bookstore having trouble, you know, I'd be more than happy to work with you and we can get her straightened out. And he says, oh, yeah, you know, he says, I've got some that, you know, turns out this guy who owns the pool store just loathes his credit card processing company. You know,
hates them.
Those are my favorite merchants.
Right.
It doesn't take me very much work at all to be 10 times better than the idiot they got. You know, so, you know, you can make yourself look pretty good because there's a whole lot of competition out there that really isn't very good at all.
Right.
So that's a really good point, though, to pause on. So, you know, anybody who hasn't done this a long time and you go out and go, holy shnikes, there's a lot of competition. Yeah, but they're exactly what Brian was just talking about. Anyway. Go ahead.
Well, and I think it's important, you know, and there's people of all levels on the call, you know, people that are just brand new and people that have been doing this a long time, like Brian and a lot of the other guys. And I think the most important thing to understand is ask questions.
You've
got to ask a ton of questions, you know, because you're trying to uncover what the issues are. And you can't be afraid to call in here, talk to your BDM or, you know, we'll find, you know, I was talking to Brian last week on a gas station that we're working on. I go, hey, on this pay at the pump deal, someone here will know, you know, in merchants understand.
Yeah,
you know,
we have a lot of depth in all the people we have.
Exactly. And when you think about that, getting into something and you go, hey, I may not know. And it's okay to say Brian's done this. I'm sure everybody in this call that's been doing it a while and successful at one point has said, you know what, I'm not exactly sure, but I know people who will find out the answer. You know, you don't try to wing it. You don't try to, you know, to blow over it because it's obviously a concern if they're voicing it.
Well, no, we have a specialist for everything.
That's right. You know, there's a specialist for every angle in this deal. And
you know, you got to use all these tools that we have that, you know, don't try and do it all yourself. You can never know it all. One guy can't know all this shit. It's impossible.
Right.
You know,
it's impossible.
But as long as you know a person who is going to know the answer, no matter what the question, you know, all these people you know can make you look good.
Right. Right. And when you come in with the solution, you know, you're the hero. Like you said, it's pretty easy to make to beat the other idiot, right? And this obviously isn't the first time. I mean, you do other software ventures with software or even hardware companies.
I'm always looking to spin a joint venture. I mean, they're my favorite thing. I like multiples. You know, that's the way, you know, okay, so what can we make out of this bookstore? You know, it's
right.
One
and
location in Florida. It's the only customer I have in the whole state of Florida, you know. And so I'm okay, how can I blow this up a little bit bigger, and the IT guy seems like the right angle, and so far it's looking pretty good.
Well, and I think another thing to remember on that is I know, you know, dealing with a lot of newer folks to this deal, when they find out that a merchant has some sort of software program, they like almost freak out, right? They go, oh, software, I can never, you know, I can't figure that out. Well, hold on a minute.
It's one of those things, after you've done it for a while, a lot of that stuff works on a thing called a payment gateway. And a gateway is nothing more than the conduit that attaches the software that the merchant has to First Data or the processing entity that you're going to use. Okay. And as long as you understand that you got to not own, you know, what the software is
doesn't really matter what the name of it is. It's like, okay, what gateway are they piping it through? You know, and we have access to a lot of different gateways.
Absolutely.
You know, I've only in all the years I've been doing this, ran into maybe less than five that we couldn't hook up to because they were proprietary. They were actually owned by the software company. Most pieces of software don't own their own gateway.
Right, right. So don't shy away from merchants that are on a software program. You know, we want to ask the right questions. You know, the payment gateway. A lot of times a merchant won't know. I'm sure you run into that. They go, I don't know. I just got this package from somebody, and here's who it is. So we got to ferret through it. We got to figure it out. We do enough research, and we'll show you guys, you know, obviously how to do that. But, you know, there's obviously that's a joint venture, right? Doesn't that qualify as a joint venture? You've already gotten two leads from the guy. And
oh, yeah.
When you pull through.
You know, and we haven't done any paperwork or discussed any kind of terms with the guy.
Well, yeah, but let me ask you, though. When you get the deal, do you think he's going to send you more?
Oh, yeah, especially if we give him a little piece of the pie. He just keeps sending them, and as long as I keep them working the way that, you know, because I'm making him look good then.
Right.
You know.
Anytime you make your
customer bring him to the show.
He's going to get more business. So don't shy away from software, but also think about merchants that have other opportunities. Like we've done joint ventures with website development companies. Because who typically wants a website developed? A business, right? A merchant. You know, they want.
Oh, yeah, I have a JV with one of those. They build websites that sell stuff.
There you go. And we do a lot of e-commerce related business. Accountants are another good one that we've dealt with, where accountants want to offer a few more products to their clients, but they don't want to be the agent, right? Accountants go, look, I'm an accountant. That's what I am. But I want to offer different services to my clients. Doesn't that seem like it goes hand in hand? If I'm dealing with business clients, I probably want to find ways to maximize their earning potential, right? So perfect joint venture opportunity. So when you're looking through, don't just think about the face value. And that's the biggest, I think, especially for new folks, that's where they struggle. They just go, well, I just need this account. I need to go get this. I know I'm going to make this much commission. I'm going to make this much residuals. And then they go, okay, I'm going to shelve that and not ask just a few questions.
Yeah, you got to take it just to the next step.
Just in
Mr. Merchant, do you happen to own another business? Hell, a lot of them have multiple businesses. But if you don't ask, you'll never know what they got.
Right. Right. So what would you say the top three questions are to ask? Do you own another business? Do you belong to maybe any buying groups, civic organizations, or associations? Or, you know, and you can obviously think through with the type of business it is. You know, like an accountant, let's use that scenario once again. When you go through that scenario, you go, hey, let me ask you, I mean, do you see a benefit in helping you deal with business clients, right? I got to lead into this, right? I got to go, oh, okay, so you're an accountant. Okay. So what, you know, do you deal more with like personal tax returns? Do you deal with businesses? Oh, we have a combination of both. And most accountants do. The guy does, you know, personal stuff, but I deal with a handful of businesses that, been doing their taxes for years. And let me ask you, and I always play it like I just thought of it, right? Like this is like a new thing I just thought of. Like, well, hey, well, let
you
me
just
ask
thought of
you,
it just for them.
Just for you. I just thought of this wonderful idea. Well, let me ask you, would it help you if you had some more resources for your clients, maybe some ways that they could take advantage of the same opportunity you were able to with us working together? Well, geez, I never thought about that. Because it's amazing when you just ask the question. Because a lot of these merchants don't even think about that. Web development guys don't think about that. And when you're a web development guy, a large part of what you're going to be doing is helping the merchant get their credit card stuff working. You know, because you're going to need a payment gateway, right? Oh, how does that?
Well, and the web guys don't like setting up the gateway to the websites they build. It's like, I don't want to deal with Authorize.net. It's like, hell, I'll do that part for you. You know, and I'll take care of setting up their merchant account. You
don't
just
worry
send them.
About that. Right.
You know, one less headache you got. It'll be done right every time.
And let me ask you, on the guy in Florida, are you giving him anything?
Which one?
The Florida guy.
I think I'm going to once we get some wheels on it, but I've got other guys out there that just throw business at me for free.
Right.
And you know, it depends upon I guess, how much they're throwing. You know, I've got a guy out there that installs the stations where you works on car washes and stuff, and he installs the pay stations where you put your card in for the automatic. You know, and he probably puts one of those in, you know, every 6-8 weeks. You know, so there's, you know, there's going to be in a year a few, you know, not a ton, but a few, you know,
well,
and he just uses me because it works when I'm done. And
well,
so for every one that he sells,
he calls you. He calls you. And
those
and
car
I
wash owners own other businesses besides the car wash because they don't have to stand at that car wash all day.
Right.
It's an investment.
And most
so then they might own a restaurant.
Like
shit, I don't know. You know, and you can go after that.
And I think the thing that we have to remember is, you know, I don't know any business out there that doesn't have some form of marketing expense, right? I mean, you open a retail store, you don't just open the doors and all of a sudden everybody flocks in. I mean, you're sending mailers to people in the community. You're hiring people to walk around and knock on doors of nearby businesses going, hey, we're just opening this.
Guys to stand outside with a sign, dressed like a banana.
Right. That's my side gig. I do that at night and on the weekend. So.
Seth is a good banana.
I did become in a banana suit for Halloween one year, so that's great.
The thing is, if you ever seen a banana with, like, great hip movement, that's Chuck.
That's just because you like watching me dance, so that's just one of those weird things.
Nothing like a wiggling banana.
Thank you. Anyway, but think about
marketing. Where is Simon Oslo? Anyway,
I know. And the jacket was just swaying, wasn't it, John? Oslo dancing, the jacket was swaying. That's for cocktails when you're in Minneapolis. We'll share that.
That's a different story. When you guys, when you come up and visit, that's when we talk about the adventure stories. When Chuck and I were in Oslo, and he was last I saw him one night. He had this really nice suit material, and I just saw him swaying and. And I was like, man, I've had enough. I'm going back to the hotel. And then I didn't see him again. Anyway, that's another story. Somebody come on. Anyway, back to the merge onto the superhighway of mini joint ventures. Because that's a good conversation. But when you come up, I'll give you the rest of the story on Oslo.
Oh boy, here we go. I plead the fifth. So, but we have to look at this. And I know it when you're new, you're especially the newer folks, right? You're dealing with a lot, and we understand that. But these are like the most important kind of questions to ask. You know, do you own any other businesses, things like that. And also think of when you do these mini joint ventures. I have different relationships where, you know, I'll give them $50 a throw up front. Or sometimes depending on types of merchants that they're sending, I'll give them $100 up front. I like doing the up front stuff because then I don't have to pay residuals out on. I like doing that. Some merchants love that. They get a quick infusion of cash or some relationships like that. You know, you give them $100 prepaid Visa gift card or something of that nature. Some people want to participate in the back end. All these things, we have the systems in place to do all that for you up front. I mean, we can calculate all that stuff on the back end for you. You know, the upfront stuff, you know, you'll have to work that out. But when you do this, you got to look at it as marketing expense. And let me ask you, if I'm making an average of $300 a deal up front and, let's say, $50 a month on the deal, would you be willing to give up $100 to somebody who's throwing you that referral?
Yeah. Well, of course. Makes sense.
It only makes dollars and cents. And that's cheap marketing. And you know what's beautiful about marketing
that? You only got to buy it once, not every month.
The beautiful part about that is that you're paying for performance. You're paying for people who sign up that you're getting paid on. And if you've ever had a business and done any marketing, you know, I think John calls it hope marketing, right? You go out and you spend, I have a buddy that owns a bike shop, and he used to advertise through a radio station here. He goes, man, my marketing expense through this radio station was, I think it was like $1,200 a month. To have radio spots on the station, right? And he goes, I don't know if I'm going to get anything out of that or not. He goes, I'm just throwing $1,200 up in the air, and I'm hoping that something lands in my shop. So when you do a joint venture like this, you're paying for production. You're only paying out a marketing fee or expense when you're getting
marketing that works
on something that works. You know, and look, I mean, out of all the guys that do this deal, that are on our partners, that were on the team. You know, it's not one joint venture that makes it all happen. You know, what we typically see is it's a lot of mini joint ventures. You might have 15, 20 joint ventures, and each one of them sends you, on average, one or two referrals a month. Well, think about that. You're up to bat on 20 referrals a month. Let's say that you had a bad
month. And most referrals are pretty damn easy to do. I mean, the closing rate is phenomenal.
So closing rate on it, and I think we could all agree on a referral, the closing rate is probably anywhere between probably 70% to 85% is what you close on a referral. Imagine trying to get up to bat on 20 merchants by cold calling, knocking on doors, and doing it the old school way. It would take you 8 weeks to get up to bat, to actually sit down and have that level of conversation with 20 people. It would take you forever. I mean, what, you talk to 100 people, you can have maybe a sit down with two or three of them? Like a real
Flyer Friday.
Flyer Friday, right? Okay. That old story.
So, and what's the close rate at best is? Yeah, it's probably 25% on those.
Yeah, if you're lucky, if you're good.
Yeah, but that's after seeing hundreds and hundreds and then getting appointments.
Right.
God.
You know, so
you just flip it. It's a total difference, and most people miss that.
So, you know, for those of you that got a portfolio, that, you know, take some time and look at your portfolio and go, where's the intrinsic value of my portfolio that I may have missed the first time through? And think about that. I think Ray goes, oh, I don't have a plane. Well, this is your plane. This is a way of making your life easier. Go through and look at your portfolio. What's the intrinsic value? Where am I missing? Do I have any accountants? Do I have any web development guys? Do I have any companies that are using software that I've set up? You know, who's their software guy that helped them set that up? Let me get acquainted with him. You know, you got to constantly be looking for those little opportunities. And, you know, my mother always used to tell me when I was growing up, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? Obviously, that was an empire that took, you know, centuries to build. Well, it's the same thing here. Every time you click on a new joint venture, okay, cool. You know, however many referrals I'm going to get from this person, that's however many deals I don't have to worry about next year from here on out. I know they're going to come in. You know, so be creative, look for opportunities, you know, make call, because I'd much rather call, and I'm sure everybody here would agree, especially the guys that are doing it, I'd much rather call my referrers and keep building on that relationship than trying to cold call on a merchant.
Oh, hell yes.
In a heartbeat. In, because
cold calling is horrible.
It's the worst. It is absolutely
worst. At best, it's horrible.
Yeah, at best, you know, so think about that. And obviously when you're new and you don't have really much of a portfolio yet, you got to dig deep. You got to draw from the things that we all did. All those guys that have been doing it a while and successful. Who do I know? Where do I spend my money? And, you know, talk to my buddies that aren't merchant. Who do they know that'll give me a listen? And you got to be able to hold people's feet to the fire. Tie them down up front. Hold them accountable when it comes time to close the deal. And that's huge. If you're not sure how to do that, talk to your BDM. How do I tie this down so when I go back and pitch the deal, this thing's sold already? That's the key, is get it sold before they see numbers. The only thing the merchant should be thinking about is, you know what, all you got to do is come in with the right program and we're doing business together. I like you. You're my person. You just got to come in with the numbers and we're doing deals. So that's selling via relationship, which is a lot easier to sell too when you come in with the joint venture stuff. So, any questions on that stuff? I think it's pretty simple, right?
Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So think about that, guys. Look at your portfolio. For you,
talk to your people. Talk to them. Ask them some stuff.
Talk to them. Ask them some stuff. Who do you know? Hey, I really appreciate working together. And plus, it's going to help you stay in contact with that client whom you're already generating revenue on. So make sure you do that kind of stuff. So, Chad, you wanted to talk about because what we preach is obviously building your network, right? Your network is your value. your network, all your relationships, that's where the value is. And you just have to have, you know, depending on which vehicle you want to use within your network can determine what kind of revenue you're able to generate on that. Merchants need to think a similar way because it's all about relationship with their merchants and their clients. So Chad's going to talk about a couple things that are available for you guys to offer your merchants that I think if you can demonstrate this concept to them by showing them, you know, they can grow their business, which means they'll do more credit card volume, which means you'll be generating more revenue and you'll be happier and out there building more relationships. So go ahead, Jen.
Really, really simple. So with Clover, you've got that next generation smart terminal, so to speak, where you can do a lot of extra things. One of the things you can do in there is email receipts. And so there are a number of apps where you can build a list capturing those email addresses, have the language in there where it's okay to send email, and those connect to a number of different apps. So depending on what your merchant wants to do for a marketing plan, different things like that, you can hook, if they don't want to do a whole lot themselves, they can hook into something like a Constant Contact, and there's an app for that. If they are a little bit more savvy on marketing and want to do a little bit more of their own and customize it some more, they can hook into to MailChimp and set up those things. More importantly, what they can do is set up a program to where they're keeping in contact with their existing customers or at least people who have bought from them in the past. Ultimately, what we want to do is by being in front of them, it gives them the opportunity to get more ups or to have the customer come back more often or, you know, some, I don't know, a lot of times, and I get way more emails than I'd like to, but from time to time, I'll get emails from places I bought from in the past, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I liked my experience there. Hey, I don't need that, but I would go back for this other thing, and I end up back at the store anyhow. I don't know if that happens to any of you people, but I'm kind of an easy sale that way. But the important thing is Clover can be used as a tool with your existing customers where you're not having to get a whole bunch of information. You're not having to have them fill out some card, lead card type thing like that. But just by simply them wanting an emailed receipt, now they can build a list and continue to communicate to their client base. So.
And I mean, when you think through that, you know, and you're talking to, you know, some merchants obviously are real savvy and some merchants aren't as savvy, and we get that. But, you know, one of the big things that we're always, I think any salesperson should do is we're always trying to bring value. And what I like when I talk to a potential client is I don't want to always make it about the credit card processing expense, you know, because it is an expense. And that's how they're looking at it. They're going, oh, you know, fees and I'm tired of this. You know, we've all heard this. You guys have heard this before. So if I can come in demonstrating different value and going, hey, what kind of things are you doing to keep reaching out to your customer base? Well, nothing really. Oh, okay. So if I could show you ways that – do you think it would be a benefit if we could set something up and – or I would probably use words. I'm sure you'd see that there would be a benefit, wouldn't you, into staying in contact with your customers, maybe putting out, you know, different promotional things or, you know, just news, if you will. And like Chad, he's an easy sale. So you put something out there that, you know, they've got a new protein drink or something, you know, it's going to drive clients into your store or maybe help if you want to start doing more of an e-commerce deal. You know, you can promote to your retail clients and direct them to your website to maybe limit the traffic coming in, but you still have a backroom business. I mean, those things would be a benefit, wouldn't they? Well, yeah, but I don't know how to do it because most merchants, especially retail merchants, most merchants will say, I don't know how to do that. I don't have a system to do that. How am I going to track all this stuff? How am I going to gather this data? I don't know what I'm going to do. So if I come in and I'm showing them that, And let's say, look, just by doing this, if we could, how much, because one of the questions on the paperwork anyway is how much revenue do you do in a year, right? What's your gross sales? Well, we do $100,000 a year. Okay. What if we could even increase that 10%? Let's say you're doing $110,000. Would that help you? Well, yeah, of course. Okay. Well, do you think by staying in contact with your clients and offering things to drive them into your store or maybe drive them to your website, do you think that's a good idea then? Well, yeah, but I don't know how. So if I could show you how to do that and make sure that, you know, the cost, let's say the cost of processing remained the same, but I could show you how to do this and increase your revenue by let's say even 5-10% a year. It'd be worth it, wouldn't it? Of course. You know, so that's bringing more value and keeping more profit in the deal. And I think that's all what we all want to do is do that. And like in Brian's scenario, just making sure things work is huge value. You don't have to go in and save them a ton of money. You can just make sure things work right. And those are things we can figure out. So with that, I don't have anything else, John. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that or anybody else, but,
I thought we're all in the right spot here for sure.
Yeah. I think we're all thinking right about it. And so spend some time, work on it instead of in it, figure that piece out and start building. Every deal you look at should in your mind, in the back of your mind should be, what opportunity is there here for a mini joint venture? Something that I could get, even if I got 3 deals a year out of this deal, that would make sense because I'm going to add about 30 or 40 of those bad boys. So with that, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Stay safe out
there. Enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks, guys.